which went to the sepulchre found it even so as the woman had said, but him they what? We said the mode of teaching is what didache, and it speaks about the approach to study or the approach to teach. Are we together? Are we together? Now, we said that Jesus' mode of teaching is to begin at the beginning, right? Jesus' mode of teaching is to begin at what you call Genesis. Jesus' mode of teaching is to begin at what you call Genesis. So Jesus began to teach from the beginning. Look at verse 44. So he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Verse 44, which were written, check your Bibles, please, in the law of Moses, that's the writings of Moses, that's Genesis up until Deuteronomy, yeah, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The prophets will include the Daniels, the Ezekiel, the Isaiah, and all of that. It says, then he opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Check your Bible, please, don't look at me. Yeah, open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, that Christ, thus it is written, and thus it behove, that Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, they what? Third day, let's read 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations, beginning at where? So what is to be preached in his name? Repentance and remission. Say repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name. So I try to examine and do a study on the name of Jesus. What is the name of Jesus about? What does the name of Jesus mean? Is the name of Jesus just J-E-S-U-S? Are we together? You know, we have footballers. We have a footballer that I know of who bears the name Jesus. Is that true? Yeah? So imagine if the commentators say, and that's how they dribbled Jesus. that's how they scored Jesus. I don't know why Jesus is playing like this morning. Are we together? So that's the name Jesus. But there is something about the name Jesus. There is something about the name Jesus. Are we together? Look at Mark. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Verse 17 says, and this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Say, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Right? So, what do you see in Luke 24 that's in Mark 16? What did you see in Luke 24 that is in Mark 16? The name. Altogether. So we saw the name in Luke 24 and we're seeing the name in Mark 16. Now, Mark 16, like we said over time, is the summary, so to say, or a part of it has a summary of the 40 days teaching that Jesus did in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 2 to 3. Are we together? So Jesus taught back to back for 40 days. You see Acts chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up by the Holy Ghost. He teaching the apostles. He sitting with them teaching about the kingdom, things of the kingdom to the apostles for 40 days. So Jesus taught for 40 days. Luke summarizes it in a few verses. Mark summarizes in a few verses. Now look at Matthew 28. So this is Matthew. So we have what you call the four gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? So we've looked at Luke. We've looked at Luke. And we've looked at Mark. Now we are seeing Matthew. Look at Matthew 28. It says, and when they saw him, verse 18, Jesus said and speak unto them, saying, Matthew 28, 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son. So what is common there again? The name. Can you see name there again? Name of the Father, name of the Son. So in the summative account of Mark, he mentions the name. Summative account of Luke, he mentions the name. Summative account of Matthew, he mentions the name. Now look at John 20. So if the name comes out as consistent in all their writings, it means that Jesus would have taught about the name in 40 days. Altogether. You know, if we write, look at it, if all of us are taking notes as I'm talking right now, and we pick all our notes and see a particular phrase or something that is common across your notes, it means that I paid attention to that thing while I was teaching. Are we here? So, Matthew says name, Mark says name, John says, Luke says name, look at John. John 20. Look at John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them. What did he say? Peace be unto you in verse 21. As my Father has sent me, even so I send I you. Is that going into the world? Beautiful, right? So this is John's account of Matthew 28, Mark 16. Are we here? And Luke. right? And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Praise God. So he now says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, right? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are what? Retained. Now look at verse 31. And many signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not what? Written in this book. But these are what? Written, verse 31, John 20, 31. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the what? Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might what? Have life through his name. Hallelujah. That believing you might have life through his name. So John talks about the name again. So what does the name supply according to John? Life. You might have life through his name. So in his name or by his name, we have life. Are we together? So it means we need to pay attention to what the name is really about. Now, we're trying to use the mode of Jesus' teaching to establish what the name of Jesus is. And we saw that Jesus began at the beginning. The beginning is what? Genesis. Are we together? You know, if you look at John chapter 5, verse 39, it first says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think they have life. You have life. But they are they which testify of me. 45 now says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Okay, hold on. If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. And if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Jesus says, Moses wrote about me. So if you believe Moses, you should believe me. Are we together? If you believe Moses, you should believe me. Now, Luke now tells you in Luke 24, these are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, which must be fulfilled in the writings of who? Moses. So if Jesus, look at it. So if Matthew, Mark, Luke, John tells you that Jesus wrote about the name, are we here? Or Jesus taught about the name, it means that Moses taught about the name. Are you here? Because Jesus that taught about the name said, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. If you don't believe his writings, you cannot believe my words. Why? Because my words are from his writings. So if Jesus' words is summarized as in the name, so to say, it means that the teaching of in the name is found in the writings of who? Moses. So we need to go back to Genesis to reinvestigate scriptures to see what the name of Jesus is about. So go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's do a quick study. Genesis chapter 1, as we usually do. Our studies are always quick, right? Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, very easy to quote. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heaven and the earth. Now we come to understand that the heaven and the earth, what you call the heaven as the sky and the earth, they are all in the earth. I'll say it one more time. The heaven that you call the sky, well, see, this sky you are seeing above you that is called sky blue. What you call sky blue? Are we together? That sky blue mixed with a little touch of white. Right, and where you are standing, they are both earth. Oh, God is not in the sky. Oh, are we together? If God is in the sky, it means that when you now want to cross sky to go to space, you have to take permission. Right, you have to use space shuttle to go out of space. Then after you now go out of space, you're not looking at God and us. Are we here? Are we here? So the teaching of heaven and earth is a mosaic teaching, or it's a Moses template to teach about the union between the supernatural and the natural. So heaven will supposedly speak about the supernatural, and the earth will speak about the physical. So when it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you believe me. So Moses is teaching that in God's new beginning, there is a union between the supernatural and the natural. Did you get that? Right? Beautiful. So he now says, and the earth was without form, that is man, we've explained that. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the what? Waters. And God said, so what did God say? God said, let there be light. Now that light cannot be the moon and the sun or PXCN. Are we together? And look at what happened. Bible now tells you, we started our story, verse 4. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Now, we said the word let there be is a single Hebrew word, ayah. Remember that teaching? Yeah, the single Greek Hebrew word, ayah, and it deals with an action, so to say. Are we together? So, and there was what? Light. Now, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God called, or God divided the light from what? Darkness. We saw the word divided as the word that means to what? Separate. Remember that teaching? Differentiate, distinguish, separate, set apart, altogether. So God divided the light from darkness, right? So God separated or put. We looked at other scriptures that use that same Hebrew word. So God put the light away from darkness. And we said that is a function, altogether, of man's response to the message of light. Do you remember that? So that is the function of man's response. So when the gospel of light is preached, the Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3, but our gospel, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Are we together? So the light is the light of the glorious gospel. When the message of light is preached to mankind, when a man receives it and says, I believe it, he is part of what? Light. When he rejects it, what happens? He's part of what? That. So what is the divider? The message. Altogether. So God doesn't handpick people to be darkness and handpick people to be light. Being under light or darkness is as a result or a function of your belief or not believing in the message of let there be light, the light of the glorious gospel. So he says, and God divided the light from darkness. Now we start looking at verse 5. And God called the light day. Now, we said the light that God called day is not about what you are seeing right now. Are we together? Are we together? Are we here? Because Moses did not try to teach you about what? Creation of the earth. So Moses will use the creation of the earth to teach about the creation of God's new earth, which is God's Jerusalem. Right? So the Bible is not a book to make you wise unto physics. Are we together? The Bible is not a book to make you wise unto science. If you try to use the Bible to get yourself wise concerning scientific knowledge, you will definitely get into a trap. Because I can assure you for free, you will have so many loopholes in this book. But the loopholes are only found in the hearts of men who have not come to a conclusion that Jesus expects you to read the scriptures in a particular way with a particular mood. Jesus had a mode of teaching which we must have. So can you see how we've explained? You know, an average Christian can quote Genesis 1:1. If you ask some of these children now, they can be able to quote. Who cannot quote Genesis 1:1? In the what? In the beginning, God what? Created the what? Heaven and the earth. They can quote it. If you are not quick to let them understand, see, when you start studying geography, or when you start studying geography, and they are taught that there are 9 planets, are you here? And they are taught that there are 9 planets. The first question that can come is, heaven and earth. So is it that all other planets is heaven? And only the earth is earth? Is it that the sky is heaven? And where you are standing is the earth? So what if we now go to Mars? So that means God created heavens and earth apart from Mars and Pluto and Venus. Are we together? Let geography answer their question. What you want to teach from God's word, you teach them, and beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, Bible says that God called the light day. Now, we said the word there called is the word what? Kara. Remember that word? Kara. I hope you're writing and not just admiring me. The word there called is the word there kara. And we said it's a word that is used to describe functions. So let's have a background or a quick study on how names were derived in Genesis. Please follow, don't lose me, okay? Don't lose track on what we are teaching this morning. Let's see how names are derived in the writings of Moses and by extension the prophets. So Moses says that God divided the light from the darkness, right? And we said the dividing, or what that means, really means that, what that really means is that what? There's a separation in God's redemption plan. Remember that teaching? There's a separation in God's redemption. So God's redemption plan is with a goal to separate men. So there are only 2 types of men on this earth. It's interesting how Christians still ask very, very ridiculous questions like, what of a man who doesn't believe the gospel but does good to the community? There are only two types of people in this world. The Christians and the not, let me say this way, the believers and the non-believers. There are so many believers that don't act like believers, but they are believers. There are so many unbelievers that do not act like... There are so many unbelievers that act like believers, but they are unbelievers. Yes, you there. That's your WhatsApp group. You are still in that group. There are only two types of people. You only become a believer. That's why it's called believer. You had believed something. What did you believe? That Jesus died and rose again for the remission of sins. You are either here. There is no middle ground. So what about? We know the truth. There are lots of believers that act like unbelievers. In fact, we have some unbelievers that still are better than many believers. But to God, in God's division, there is only day and night. Are you here? God doesn't have afternoon and evening. Are we here? God called light day and called darkness night. So two kinds of people. There are the people who will be in God's light, which is in God's day. And the people who will be in darkness, that will be the night, figurative, as a result of a function. Are we together? So God's plan, in God's redemption plan, is to separate mankind. Those who believe and those who don't believe. You see, eternal salvation is so eternal that no matter what a believer does, he cannot remove himself from God's hand. Are we together? It's a seal. You've been sentenced to eternal life once you believe the gospel. Without your permission. Yeah, the decision to be a believer is in your hands. But the moment it leaves your hands, right, God in his sovereignty takes over. Are we here? Are we here? God in his sovereignty takes over. You are too small to remove yourself from God's hand. Say, I'm too small. Say, I'm too small to remove myself from God's love. God's love is dogged. God's love is overwhelming. Are we together? God's love is dogged. It's fixed. It's overwhelming. God's love is the glue that bonds God and the believer. You can never separate yourself from God's love. That's why Paul now tells you in Romans, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. 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 I can't even do it. All together. So, what is expected from the believer? Why is conduct expected from the believer? Now, conducts are not the roots that gives you the tree of salvation, but conducts are the fruits of the tree of salvation. Did you get that? Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. Your conducts are not roots that you need before you can get the tree of salvation. Your conducts are the fruits from the tree of salvation that you've what? Received. So, there's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Altogether, there's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. What's the tree of life about? It's about the eternal life of God that God supplies to mankind. So once you've eaten of the tree of life, you are saved forever. You cannot vomit the tree. Are we together? Can you vomit in the spirit? Can you vomit in the spirit? Can you vomit in your mind? Or let's... You can vomit in your mind, but if you imagine it. Yeah. Can you vomit in the spirit? Can you vomit from the spirit? Let me say it this way. Can you vomit from the spirit? You can't. So once you've eaten the tree of life or the fruit of the tree of life, you are saved forever. Now there's a fruit expected from you, what you call the fruit of the spirit, which is love. By extension, has some other fruits and some other things in Galatians. Are we here? Are we here? So in God's redemptive plan, there is a separation between people, night or day. You are either night or day. You can be in day, or you are God's day, or in God's day, and you are behaving like darkness. But what makes you qualify to be in God's day is believing in the message of what? God's redemption. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's see how some names are derived. Look at Genesis 28. Or look at John 1. Hold your hands in Genesis 28 and go to John 1, 51. John chapter 1, verse 51. Are you there? Look at 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than what? These. Let's read 51 together. John 1, 51. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon who? Upon who? Go to Genesis 28. Whose encounter is that? Okay. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 10. In Genesis 28, verse 10. Look at what it says in verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lifted up a certain place and he lighted up a certain place and tarried there all night. Because the sun was what? Set. And he took off the stones of the place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to what? Sleep. And he dreamed and beheld a ladder set up on the earth on top of it and reached the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending and what? Did you read that in John 1? Is that what you just read in John 1? What did John 1 tell you he was standing upon? Well, go back to John 1. John 1. Hold your hands in John 1. Did you close John 1? Did you close John 1? Alright, so go back to John 1:51. So put your hands in Genesis 28. That's why you have so many fingers. Right? Put one hand in Genesis 28. Put another one in John 1. So, John 1:51 says, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, ye shall see heaven open, and angels of God ascending and descending upon the what? So, that is Jacob's encounter. All together. So, look at Genesis 28 now. And he dreamed, and he beheld a ladder set up to earth, and the top of it was reaching the heavens, and behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of what? Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou layest, to thee will I give it, and to thy what? So can you see the promise of land again? To thy seed, can you see that again? And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west. So when he says thy seed shall be to the dust of the earth, are they going to be believers in God's heavenly Jerusalem? So in God's heavenly Jerusalem, God sees men as dust. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Man is not dust. But okay. As the sands covers as the waters covers the sea and as the sand covers the seashore. Don't hear what I'm not saying. God wants men in their numbers. Are you okay there? Stay there. Look at verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Now look at verse 16 carefully. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is where? In this place. And I knew it what? So he had an experience. Check your Bibles. Don't sleep. He had an experience and said, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now look at 17. And he was what? Afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the what? The what? House of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now, in God's house, what will you find? God's Son. Are we here? Which is God's Spirit. Are we together? So when John records that story, you see Jesus says, the angels ascending and descending from the heaven to earth on who? The Son of Man. Are we together? This is Jacob's experience. Now look at what Jacob now did. In verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow. So Jacob was sleeping with pillow stone. And set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place what? Bethel. He called the name of the place what? Bethel. Now, so what did he say? Now, what was the first name he called it in verse 17? House of God. Right? So he called the name Bethel, but the name of the city was called what? Lose at the word first. Now, the word house of God is the word that is Bayith-El. Bayith, that's B-A-Y-I-T-H. That's like household and El. Hope you're writing. Bayith, which is household, right? And El, it's a word like a short form for Elohim or deity, right? So, Bethel is the house of God. Are we here? The household of God. Are we here? Are we here? So Bethel is the house of God according to Jacob. Why did Jacob give it that name? And what's the general name you call that? Jacob had an encounter, an experience. So Jacob gave that place a name based on his what? Encounter or experience. When I was started teaching the name, Start looking at the word name. I would say the name is the word that speaks of a what? A function. Are we here? So Jacob called that place Bethel because of his what? Encounter. Because of his what? Experience. Look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7. Second Samuel is in the Old Testament, though. So we are towards Revelation like this. Are we all there? Okay. Second Samuel 7, verse 12. And when the thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall what? Proceed out of, please listen carefully, proceed out of thy bowels, and I will what? Hold on. Who is this conversation to? David. Are you here? Are you following? Who is this conversation to? David. Look at my stuff again. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Could that be Solomon? Could that be Solomon? Let's do day and night now. Could that is yes or no? Could that be Solomon? Yes or no? No. Not yet, no. No. Are you seeing the reason? You've seen the reason why it cannot be Solomon. Why can't it be Solomon? Solomon's kingdom is not established forever. You get that? So you can read from a layman's language and think the prophecy was for Solomon, the direct seed of David. So look at it again. It says, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for what? Ever. Solomon's kingdom is not established forever. The only kingdom established forever is the kingdom of Jesus. So, you will see the seed of David, you would have thought it was his direct son. So, that is why you will say, this is the same promise to Genesis 3:15 to Adam. Thy seed shall bruise. Are we here? In thee shall the seed bruise, right? In thy seed, the seed shall bruise, rather, the head of the serpent and all of that. So, you would have thought that the seed that will bruise the head of the serpent, which is the work of the devil, is Adam's direct son. Are we together? But that bruising is done in the resurrection. You would have thought that Solomon was the one that is the direct seed or that has the fulfillment of the prophecy to David. But that word seed is fulfilled and it comes to reality in the what? In the resurrection. So he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish, you know. Let's pay attention to a few words there. You see the word in verse 12 when it says, I will set up thy seed after thee. That word there, set up, is a single Greek word or Hebrew word rather. A single Hebrew word, and it's spelled as this, Q-U-M. The word there, set up, is the word Q-U-M. A single Hebrew word, Q-U-M. And it's a word that means to rise up or raise up or to arise. The word I will set up is a single Hebrew word that is Q-U-M. A word that means to raise up, to rise up, or I will arise. I will raise. Is that a resurrective word? Is that a resurrection word? Whom he hath killed, whom the Lord raised up on the third day. Are we together? So, I will raise up thy seed. Did you see that now? Look at verse 12 again. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. When the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, right? I will set up, that is, raise up thy seed after thee. Remember, the seed that will be raised up will establish a kingdom forever. Are we here? Have we gone home? Look at Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. So, God will raise up the seed, and the raising up will be to establish a kingdom that is what? Forever. Say, God's kingdom is established forever. So, look at Psalm 2, Psalm 2 verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Is that thou art my seed? Thou art my son, thou art my seed. Is that the seed to Adam? Are we here? Please, let's respond if you answer. If you don't answer, just say, I don't know. Don't join the crowd and say, yes, yes, I'm pushing me forward. If you don't know, say, I don't know. Now, this seed, look at it again. Thou art my son. This day have I what? Begotten thee. That son, is that the seed? Is that the seed of David we saw in 2 Samuel? Is that the seed that will bruise the head of the serpent in Genesis 3? Is that the seed that God promised Abraham? In that seed, there will be people as the dust of the what? Look at verse 8. Read verse 8, everybody. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen. So in God's seed, which is God's kingdom established forever, plenty of people will become God's inheritance. Yeah? So, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. It's not for the Christian, no. Or let me say it this way. It's not for you to ask for anything. You know how we've said, we've taught that thing before. If you read some of those amplified, and that's why I tell people, let's look at King James more. Because amplified sometimes just amplifies the error. Are we together? It just takes it. I don't know, maybe his message. He says, today is your what? Today is your birthday. And some of you use it every year. Every service. Today is your birthday. Name it. It's today your birthday. Whose birthday is today? Nobody. Today's your Bible says, ask for anything. Is it the nations of the world? I will give you. If God gives you nations, what will he give me on my own birthday? If he gives you, how many nations are in the world? If he gives you, give you. By the time he gives four people, who will remain? So, thou art my son is a resurrection statement. Are we together? Thou art my son is thou art my seed whose kingdom will be established forever. Are we together? And people will be the inheritance of that kingdom. People will be the inheritance of that kingdom. So it is people you will find in the kingdom. So God's kingdom, in God's seed, there are plenty of people. Are we together? That's why he says, look at Abraham. He says, look at the stars. Count the stars. Yeah? He's not to go and be counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Bible now tells in Galatians, to thy seed, not as of many, but thy seed, which is what? Christ. But as many of you have believed in Christ, you've put on Christ. There's neither male, neither female, neither Greek, neither Jew. For we are all one in God's seed. Are we here? Are we here? So, 2 Samuel 2, 7, 12 tells you that, thy seed. Okay. Thy seed, I will set up. What is our setup? Rather. What's the word? To raise up? To rise? To lift up? Would that be done in the resurrection? So in the resurrection, God's seed is lifted up and his kingdom is established forever. Are we here? In the resurrection of Jesus as the seed of David, God's seed. So the seed of David is the seed of Abraham. Are we together? And the seed of Abraham is the seed of Isaac. That same seed is the seed of Adam. And the same seed is the seed of Jacob. Now that same seed is who? The seed of David. And that same seed is who? Jesus Christ. Are we here? All together. So, look at I'm 2 again. So he now says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Look at verse 5. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my what, son? This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. And the what? And the what? Uttermost parts of the earth for thy what? Possession. Is that going into all the world and preach the gospel? Is that repentance and remission of sins you will preach in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and to the what? Uttermost part of the world. Are we here? Look at Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. There's a lot to do in this few books. You know, it's one of the most one of those frequent verses that were quoted by Jesus and the apostles. But let's just do a very summative study here, okay? Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, see thou art my what? Now, this is a psalm of David. So in David's conversation, there is a Lord saying to my Lord. Are we here? So the lordship David speaks about is not a physical lordship, because David was a king. Are we together? So the Lord said to my Lord, David was not in the conversation. Are we together? So is that God saying to God? Is that God saying to his seed? Are you here? So the Lord said to my Lord, in the real sense, one person. Yeah? What did he now say? Sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy what? First of us. So now says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of where? Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the what? The day of his what? Power. You know, we used to have meetings like that. On the day of his power. Thy people shall be what? Willing. So, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy what? Youth. Now the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest. Is David in this conversation? Are we here? Please don't look what I'm saying. Is David in this conversation? David is talking about his Lord saying to my Lord. The Lord saying to my Lord. So when it now says in verse 4, the Lord has shown and will not repent, thou art a priest after the order of what? Melchizedek. Who's a priest? Who's a priest? How do you explain it? How do you word it? Who is a priest? Who is a priest? Not who is the priest. Who is a priest? Wow. Go to Hebrews 5. Hold your hands in Psalm 10, 110. You have plenty of fingers. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for what? So a priest is one who serves as a mediator and offers sacrifices for what? Sins. Out together. So when it says a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is that person? Christ Jesus. So Christ, the priesthood of Christ, is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Did Melchizedek have father and mother? Thank God though. He didn't see it coming. Did Melchizedek have father and mother? Yes, so. Anybody on earth else who did not have father and mother, you can as well believe that person for forgiveness of sins. Altogether. So Melchizedek had father and mother, but Moses wrote it that way to pass a message across. Are we together? That's why I took you to Hebrews 5. High priest taken from amongst men. Are we here? So Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, right, sit. He now says, the Lord has sworn that and will not repent, thou art a priest forever. Are we together? You see, when you see the word forever, it has to do with God. When you see a condition like this that has to do with forever, it's God that does things forever. Are we here? It's God that does this forever. So when he says, thou art a priest forever, your attention should go to what is God doing in the earth. So it means that we will see two lords in Psalm 110. Is that true? We will see two lords. So one lord is a king. The other one is a priest, that is a servant. Is a priest a servant? A priest is one who renders service. Is that a servant? So it means that in God's resurrection or in God's redemption plan, you will see God coming as a servant to mankind. Are you here? I'll say it one more time. In God's redemptive plan, God will come as a servant to mankind. Or we will see God as a servant king. You like that, right? Don't take away my king from me. Okay. We will see God as a servant. The Bible says forever his order is after the order of Melchizedek. So if priesthood is about service, it means that God is a servicing God. Did you get that? God is a servicing God. God is a servant king. Hallelujah. So God is both king and God is servant. Hallelujah. So God is that king who came to the earth to die for man as a servant of man. as the priest of man. He has a priesthood that is after the order of Melchizedek, and his kingdom is established, what? Forever. Are we here? So look at Isaiah 7. We're looking at the name of what? The name of Jesus. Right? Look at Isaiah 7, 14. Isaiah 7, 14. In the year that King Uzziah died, look at Isaiah 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Are we here? Are you there? Isaiah 6, verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw also the what? Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled with temple. Dear saints, for you to sit upon the throne, your Uzziah must what? Die. You might be sitting on that throne, but is your train filling the temple? Are we together? You know, in time past, some of us here have prayed every Uzziah in my life died by fire, and you sweated. It's called ignorance, sweat. Hallelujah. What was Isaiah really saying? He was using the time Uzziah died as a benchmark on a calendar date to speak about his vision. So, in the year that President Yar'Adua died, my dad bought a car. Did Yar'Adua have to die before you buy the car? How together? So, I can say, in the year that Yar'Adua died, I wrote my jamb. How together? I wrote jam. Is it that before you buy the phone, there is that Uzziah that is taking territory? You know, we have territorial. That's the word. Oh, glory to God. God has delivered us. So, you know, we have territorial spirits. Yeah, I was going to Isaiah 7, verse 14. I mean, this morning. Isaiah 7, 14. He says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Okay, hold on. Go to verse 13. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall what? Conceive. What did he call it? A sign. So when a virgin conceives, it's a what? Sign. Is that the message? Beautiful. So a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given, and the government shall be upon his what? Shoulder, and his name shall be what? Called Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So the son, everyone look at me. Is the son the seed of David? So is the son that is the seed of David the seed of Abraham? The son that is the seed of Abraham, is that the seed of Adam? Is that the seed of Isaac? Is that the seed of Jacob? Is that the same seed Jesus? Who is that seed? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He says, his name shall be called what? The Mighty God. So Jesus is God. So Jesus is not junior God. So Jesus is God as a servant to man. Are we together? Jesus is not the junior brother of God. Are we together? So the conversation of Jesus as the Son of God is a conversation to relate with man in human language. Are we here? The conversation of Jesus as the Son of God, what I said is heavy. And it will take us a full series to break down. But just know that. The conversation as Jesus as the Son of God is a what? A conversation that is really talking about how God came to the earth to be the servant of mankind. That's not what I said the first time, but remember. Are we together? So, it means that the birth of Jesus from the virgin woman, right, is to affirm the promise or to show that the promise has begun from Genesis. Did you get that? So, is there anything? So, what happened to Mary? Is that significant? A virgin giving birth. Is that significant? It is now. Is that part of the message? Or let me say this way. Is that the message? Bible tells you it is a what? A sign. Praise God. Praise God. So look at Luke 24. So, was Jesus a priest? Is he also a prophet? Is he also a shepherd? Is he also an evangelist? Is he also an apostle? So Jesus is the apostle, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, and the pastor who expresses himself through us. Did you hear that? Jesus is the apostle. I'm trying to teach you from Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, which are teachers. So Jesus is the teacher, who is the apostle, who is the pastor, who is the prophet, who is the evangelist that expresses himself through us. That's another huge statement. That's something huge. Are we here? So look at Luke 24:19. I didn't look at 24:19. So what he says there? He says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a what? A prophet, which was a prophet mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people. Now, was Jesus a prophet? Did they get it right that Jesus was a prophet? Who's a prophet? Now, a prophet is the word, is the Hebrew word Nabai. Write it down. Nabai. N-A-B-I-Y. Nabai. Nabai. Nabi. Nabai. N-A-B-I-Y. Nabai. Right? And it's a word that is typical to explain who a spokesperson is. We'll look at patterns of this more on Wednesday. Nabai is a prophet, and it's just a word that speaks about a spokesperson. The first person to be called a prophet in the Bible is who? Abraham. Altogether, we'll look at that properly on Wednesday. Now, Jesus is a prophet, that is a priest, that is a servant that renders service to mankind, and that is God himself. So in the real sense, they had known that a prophet, they acknowledged Jesus was a prophet, and they knew that God was going to raise a prophet, but what they did not know accurately was the type of prophet God was going to raise. So that's why you can see in Luke 24, it tells you, but we thought, look at verse 20, but we thought, look at 21, but we trusted that it had been he which would have what? Redeemed Israel, and beside, 21, are you there? And beside all this, today is the third day since these things, what? Were done. So, they were right to call Jesus a prophet. Is that true? So is Jesus a prophet that is the seed of God? That's the priest whose kingdom is established forever in the resurrection. That is the promise to Abraham. Are we here? I'm trying to draw a line across the Bible, okay? Promise to Abraham, the promise to Adam, and the promise to Isaac, promise to Jacob, and the promise to David. Are we here? So it means that a prophet, or we need to establish how Jesus functioned as a prophet, or what Jesus will do as a prophet, or what they saw really that made them acknowledge that he was a prophet, and what kind of prophet did they think he was. Yeah. So today, we're still looking at names. We're trying to see how names are functional. Now, we started talking about I am that I am. Is that true? So go back to Genesis 3 first, then Exodus 3. Genesis 3, verse 1. Go and tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. And Genesis 3. Don't forget, in God's redemptive plan, there's a separation. In God's redemptive plan, there's a division. Now, Isaiah 3 now tells you something very important. It says, verse 1. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more what? Subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Now we said something. Adam gave names, or names were given based on function. Are we together? You know, the name serpent you see in your Bible is not what Adam called it. I hope you know that, right? Adam did not call snake, snake. Neither did he call serpent, serpent. We also went further to establish that Adam did not speak Hebrew. Are we here? Hebrew is a language as an offshoot from the Abrahamic lineage. So Noah did not speak Hebrew. Are you here? Abraham did not speak. Abraham spoke Hebrew, or in Abraham's lineage, you see Hebrew come out. But before Abraham, rather, Seth did not speak Hebrew. Are we together? Are we here? Adam did not speak Hebrew. Did Moses speak Hebrew? You have to think about it. Is Moses older than Abraham? When was Moses born? Exodus, beginning of Exodus. Abraham came into the scene from Genesis 10-11. So Moses will use Hebrew to write to an Hebrew audience and communicate truths that were not in Hebrew. Altogether. Now we started explaining how names are used to describe function. I started talking about the word called Askara. Now, remember, a name will be given or derived based on an action that is to be done. Let me show you two examples this morning before we go to the next thing. Are we here? Are we here? So, look at Genesis 5. Or, look at Genesis 4 first. We're in Genesis 3. Look at Genesis 4. Are you in Genesis 4 verse 1? And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she what? And bare what? And said, I have gotten a man. Is that function? Is that functional? Look at verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was what? Keeper of sheep. Now, look at verse 24, 25. And Adam knew his wife again. Is that the same Adam? And knew his wife again. And she bore a son and called his name what? Seth. So that was another child. And what did she say after the word said? For God said. Can we read that together? 1, 2, 3, go. For God said she hath appointed me. So I hope you know how to read that line. This King James. He just says she said that for God had appointed. No mind them. See what they did there. For God said she had. No. It is she said, for God at what? Appointed me another seed. Is that function? Is that functional? God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain what? Slew. So it means that in the real sense, at that time, Eve would have thought that the message of the victory of the seed in Genesis. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3 verse 15. And I'll put enmity. Are you there? Genesis 3 15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Right? And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt what? Bruise his heel. You get that? So that's the promise of the seed first in the Bible. Are we here? That's the promise of the seed to Adam and Eve. Now look how it now says in chapter 4 again. And she said, God had appointed me another. So it means that for every time Eve would have thought or would have given birth, she would have thought that was the seed, that was the promise of God. Are you here? That's why she gives birth to Seth and says, oh, God has... Remember, the promise was the seed will get victory. She gives it to another child and Seth and says, for God had given me another seed in place of who? Abel. So that means the first person she thought was the seed was who? Abel, not even Cain. So she now says, for God has given me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. Look at verse 26. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now the word there, Enos, actually is a word that means mortal man. Yeah? Or subject to death. in that word there, and enos, is a word that means mortal man or subject to death. Mortal man or subject to death. Are we here? Mortal man or subject to death. Now, is that a function in us? Is that a function subject to death? Beautiful. So, we're trying to examine how names are functional. So, it means that if Jesus is teaching about his name, we will take his understanding of the teaching of his name from the writings of Moses and the prophets. Are we here? Remember, Jesus' Bible was what? Genesis to Revelation? Genesis to what? So Jesus taught from the prophet, the Psalms, and who? Moses. Lovely. Let's show you another example. So we have seen Genesis 3, the promise of the seed. Genesis 4, the another seed that Eve thought was the message or thought was the seed. See Genesis 5. Genesis 5, 22. Are you there? Are you in Genesis 5, 32? What does it say there? It's 22 rather. And Enoch lived, or 22 rather. And Enoch, no, look at 21. Are you in 21? Let's read 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat who? Methuselah. And Methuselah walked with God after he begat who? And Enoch rather walked with God after he begat who? 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Yes. And Enoch walked with God, and he was what? Not. For God what? Did he die? He died though. And altogether. What is the meaning of Methuselah? Methuselah. We've taught it in his church before. What is Methuselah, sister, from Mr. Prosperous? Hey, Methuselah. What's Methuselah? You don't know. You know, but you don't want to say it. You're shy. Sister Esther Willie, what's Methuselah? You're going back to your previous notes. Something I taught 3 years ago. What's Methuselah? Sister Rose? If you are talking, open your mouth and talk like a minister. When he dies, it shall happen. What was going to happen? The flood. Are we together? So who was the first person to preach about the flood for Noah's time? Enoch. How old was Enoch when he first preached about the message of the flood that was coming? 65. And he lived for 300 years. And Methuselah lived for 969 years. Altogether. So the flood was not a message that began in Noah's time. Can you imagine God's long suffering? And yet, only Noah and his family entered inside. You know, there's a way you will hear, in fact, you should learn from this. There's a way you will hear God's word and God's promise to you from yourself, God's word to you, so to say. And you keep hearing it. But because it's not happening now, that is it. So when we have believers' meetings and people are saying the same things over and over again, they say, that brother, I know him. It's not fear. It's fear we're talking about. Yeah, it's fear. Fear. The other one, I know her, his decision. It did not start today. It's a mindset of unbelief. It didn't start today. Enoch first preached about when it happened, he shall die. Enoch at age 65 gave birth to Methuselah. Is that what we saw in the Bible? Then lived 300 days after. So from the birth, from age 65 of Enoch, to when the flood happened, 969 years. So, Methuselah is a function, are we here, in Moses' writing to teach about God's long suffering. Do you get that? When he dies, it shall happen. So today, you will call Methuselah the oldest man to have lived. But there's a message behind the oldest man to have lived. When he dies, it shall happen. 969 years. Yet,
only Noah, his three sons, and their wives, and his wife went into the ark. Don't be too familiar with God's word. Don't be too familiar with God's word. Don't allow over familiarity. Capture your heart when it comes to God's word. Don't have that approach at all. Don't have that approach.
Are we together? Look at verse 28.
Dear saints, Methuselah and Noah, who is older? That's to Methuselah now. Noah was not, look at it. The name of Methuselah means when it happened. When he dies, it shall happen. And we call it Noah's flood. I would say Methuselah is the oldest. So Noah has to be younger than Methuselah. Are we together? So Noah was the one that built an ark. Names are what? Functional. So it means that Noah will be a function. The name Noah will be a function. Now, the Hebrew word for the name Noah is Noach. I'll spell it for us. N-O-A-C-H or N-U-A-C-H. Anyone? They have variances there. N-O-A-C-H. And what does Noach mean? What does Noah mean? The ark builder. Okay, let's read it in the Bible. Look at verse 26. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 700. As in numbers. 782 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Now, all the days 27 of Methuselah were 969 years. And he what? Died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. I hope you know this is not in sequence. I hope you know it's not in sequence. Let me show it to you quickly. Look at it very well. Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years. Now, open your calculator, please. Quickly. So, how old did Methuselah die? So, 969 minus how many years he lived after Lamech? 782 years. So, 969 minus 782. So, Methuselah gave birth to Lamech when he was 187 years. You know, if you had read verse 26 or 27, 27 tells Methuselah died. You would think it's after he died, Lamech now came to the scene. But see what he now says about Lamech in 28. Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and the name of the son was what? Noah. So if Methuselah was 187 years when he begat Lamech, Lamech was 182 years when he begat Noah, how old was Methuselah when Noah was born? The law. How old? You're correct, actually. 187 years plus 182 years. So Methuselah was just 300 and... Forgive me, it's not just. Methuselah was... It can't be just. Don't mind me. It can't be just, though. Thank God we're justified. So Methuselah was 369 years when Noah was born. So when Noah was born and when the flood happened, the flood when Methuselah died, how old was Noah when Methuselah died? So yes. The law. Yeah, that is 969 minus 369. That was the total age of Methuselah when you include Lamech's age. You know, brother, he just likes prose, literature. You know, see, that's why they say when they say find X. So Lamech gave birth to Noah at the age of 182. Methuselah was still alive. What is Methuselah? When he dies, it shall happen. So it means that Methuselah still lived for 600 years after Noah was born, before he died. Are we here? Look at verse 30. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were what? 727 years. And he died. How old was Noah? 32. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, Japheth. For Noah to have begat Shem, Ham, Japheth, they were mature when they got into the boat, into the ark. Why? Because they had wives now. He was 500 when he gave birth to 3 children. Let's not go there. See verse 29. Let's read 29. That's where we're really going to. And he what? Who is he that called his name Noah? Lamech, the father of what? So he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had what? Caused. What is a summary for that phrase we just read? Comfort. Another word? Eh? Consolation. Eh? Another word? Basic English word. Be careful. another word for comfort. Okay, another word. Keep looking at the phrase. Don't look at my face. Look at it. Look at the phrase. The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil. So, is that the function of Noah? Lovely. How did you see that? When you cease from your work, the next thing you do is what? So, Noah's name was a function. So, it means that the name Noah was a function that speaks about how we'll find rest in God. What you will see as rest in the ark. Are we here? Now, that word Noah is similar to the word you will see as Shabbat in Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2. And God rested on the third day. On the seventh day, sorry. Why did I say three? Look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God what? Ended his what? Is that what Noah's name as a function is? To bring comfort after toiling in the place of work? You get that? So that's similar to that. And God ended his work which he had made. And he what? Rested on the what? Seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now remember, seventh day is going to be a function. Yeah, don't think God just did 7 days in the earth. I said just did 7 days. And I started, nah, I finished. Now he moved his canvas and started wearing Beatrice slippers. I started walking around the garden. Wow, these are the beautiful things I made. Wow, only me as I am as I am. No. Eh? The concept of 7 days, listen to me, everyone. Carefully listen to me. The concept of 7 days to create the world is a mosaic concept. To teach about rest. Are we here? Are we here? Go to Hebrews 2. Let me show you. The concept of seventh day is a mosaic concept and Hebrewism, whatever. Look at Hebrews 2. Let me show you what I'm about to say. What I just really said with him. Did I say not take God 7 days? That's what you heard. Now you all know. Look at Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his what? So, what was Moses teaching about God resting on the seventh day? Man is to cease from his work and enter into God's rest. Are we here? Did you get what I just said? Who wrote Genesis 2 when it says God rested on the seventh day? Do you think God is tired? Do you think the use of rest by Moses is a function of him losing strength? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So when you say Moses rested on the seventh day, it's not that God labor. No, it's a way of Moses teaching that mankind is to be found in God's seventh day, which is what? God's rest.
which is the comfort we receive when we cease from our works. That's why Hebrews now tells you. He tells you, let us therefore fear, lest we being promised left for us of entering into what? His rest. Or any of you should seem to what? Come short of it. Now read verse 2 together. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us, everybody together, Hebrews 4:2. 1, 2, 3, go. For unto us was the gospel preached. So when it means, when you go back to rest in Genesis 2, what should you see? The gospel preached. You see that? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that what? Heard it. Now look at verse 3, everybody together. For we which have what? 1, 2, 3, go verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the what? So when did God's work finish? When you see Genesis, God rested on the seventh day. Are you here? Have you gone on? You're here, right? So when Moses says God rested on the seventh day, it's not like he now started, he went to go and bath. You don't let Nollywood deal with you. He now went to go and bath. He now removed his canvas. He now started, we now wore betrothal slippers. I started whistling and just fist away on his shoulder and was singing. I was looking, oh, I created that. Wow, that's me. I'm big. It's a Moses. Remember, Moses is writing the book of Genesis to an Exodus audience. He had a people in mind. Are we together? So, man is to cease from his works and enter into what? God's rest. That phrase we just gave is a function that Noah's name exhibits. So, have you noticed, since we've read it today, have you noticed that all the people's names we've read, there was something attached to their names? Are we together? That's why you see, even today, you give names of children based on what you went through. Oluwa Timileyin. You are laughing. Is that how you give name? You go through labor room. They told you that you will not give birth very well. You see, Oluwa Tio Fi Oluwa Pamilerin. Oluwa Jomiloju. I can only use Yoruba words because that's the closest one I can know. Or the one that said, maybe the nurse said, ah, man, yeah, the baby might not make it alive. You now say, God will not put me to shame in your dialect. Is that not how you give birth to names? How together? You look for a child, look for a child. You didn't get a child. You finally got a child, for instance, you give it a name. Some of us, is the name we bear. Think about your name. Don't think about the Bible one they gave you, because it's almost a custom in Nigeria to give our children by first Bible name, David, Paul, Daniel. All together. Yeah, so think about your name. There is something. So my name now, for my brand name, they say it's they say it's Oluwa Kayode. The meaning of Oluwa Kayode is that God brought joy. All together. Now, sometimes when she is alone, she now can be thinking, wow, what a joy to see my son preach. Function. All together. Function. Take a basis in your own dialect. That is why you realize there are some names people don't give their children, like Jezebel. People don't give their name Judas. People Judas. Just the variants of it, Judah and Jude. But you know, Judah and Judas is the same. I hope you know. Judas Iscariot. The name Judas and Judah is the same variants. They both mean the same thing. What does Judah mean? Praise. Judas also means praise. So it's praise that denied Jesus. Praise denied Jesus. What praise cannot do, it's not exist. So in the real sense, we see names having meanings, having functions. Are you learning something? We're just trying to explain the name of Jesus. And we've not said the name of Jesus since morning. Why? We're trying to lay a foundation for you to understand where names are derived. So you understand why the name Jesus is Jesus. So when it says, in my name, they shall what? Cast out devils. You need to understand what the name is. Is it by saying Jesus? You know it's interesting, you can cast out devils without mentioning J-E-S-U-S. Even without saying Bros J.
I've not seen you've not seen casting out of devil. You say out. Now is not the synonym of Jesus. Now is just an expression. It's how you choose it. But the truth is that it was in the name you did that. Altogether. So whilst it is interesting, you know, we have not even used the name for anything. Then give me J and excellence E and a superstitious S. Supersonic X, exclusive E, then sounding S. Want to cut cake? J A S. Whilst all those things can be interesting, do you understand? The name of Jesus is not about the letters J E S U S. That's why you see some people teach something. They say the stone David took 5 stones, each of them represent the name Jesus. 5 stones, J-E-S-U-S. 5 is the number of grace. Say grace. How many stones did David use to kill Goliath? 1. So it's only J you need. In the name of J. imagine you are passing the road and somebody in the market is casting out the money. Name of J. J. All David had was J. J. All together. So the concept of 7 as perfection, that's what I'm going to. 7, perfection. 5, grace. 6, number of man. 4. 1 is unity. 2 is division. How 2 is this? No, 2 is unity. 2 is union. 1 is Trinity. Sister Nengi. 1 is Trinity. Trinity 1. Sister Nengi. Then 4 is whatever. Then 5 is grace. If you are born in the month of May, you are full of grace. May grace follow you this month of May. may you will still get the message. Now it's not 2 months time. May you experience. When you get to 6 is number of what? Man. Yes, now. God made man on the 6th day. Yes, now. Then 7 is number of completion, wholeness, perfection. Then 8 is what? New beginning. Then 9 is what? Delivery. then 10 is what? And then 10 is double grace. 11 is what? 11. Then 12 is government. We joke a lot. 5. You say it's grace. G-R-A-C-E. I hope you know grace is as good as 5 letters as devil. And Satan and demon. You see all of them, Satan, devil, demon, all of them, 555. They are sharing number and what, juju? And thief. Are we here? So we don't attach a lot of mystery and mystical unicorns to this thing. Wow, he called me at 5. On the 5th. Of me. What is God saying? You are hungry. You are hungry. I eat. Yeah. So don't attach all those very. And that's why you can't. I can't afford as a believer. I'll close here. You can't afford as a believer to be attaching yourself with all those Capricorn, Leo, Capricorn, Cancer, Scorpion. They say Scorpion people are always like this. You too. You say, wow, I want to see myself. No, you see yourself the way God sees you in the world. You see yourself in the name of Jesus. That functional work He has done in the resurrection. All together. So I'll close here, okay? Go back to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Or look at 66. Let me just close on 66 then. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my what? Is that of my comfort? Is that of my Noah? Is that of my Noah? Is that 66? Is that of my Noah? My Noah? Are we together? So we'll continue from here on Wednesday. So God's word is as clear as
what God's word really says. Or let me say it this way. God's word is meant to bring clarity to us and not confusion. So one, understand what Jesus taught for 40 days. That is why, and what made them to come to a conclusion of mentioning the name in all their summaries of 3 to 4 or 5 verses. Are we together? So today we looked at something interesting. The seed of David is the seed of Abraham, and is the seed of who? Isaac, the seed of who? Jacob, and is a seed whose kingdom will be what? Established forever. Are we together? So David now says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit. Now we're going to explain that we will see God as a servant king who will come to supply redemption to mankind. Bow your heads and talk in tongues for the next few minutes while we close. Let's talk in tongues for a few minutes, okay? Everyone about Shisha, everyone about Shisha, in the Nabro. And then everyone about Shisha, 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 everyone about